chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I believe that every one of us as God's people, whether we recognize it or not, I believe that God calls every one of us to be leaders. And I believe that there's a call to leadership in every one of our lives. Some people think, I'm not a leader, I'm not called to be a leader. I don't want the leader's job, I don't want to have that title. Whether or not you want the title or not, or whether or not you want the job or not, it's your lot in life to be a leader. You know why? Because God loves you enough to give you the ability to learn some things, to make some wise decisions, and go in the right direction. And there's always going to be somebody that's going to follow you, by the way. Somebody is always watching you. Somebody has their eyes on you. It might not be, you know, the CIA or one of those groups, or what are they called here? CSIS. You know, somebody's got their eye on you. Somebody's watching you, and they're not too far away. They may be just sitting right beside you right now, and they're watching you, and they're seeing how you are going to live your life. They're seeing the decisions that you make. You know, how many of you know that we're not perfect? I think that all of us as Christians have discovered that we're not perfect. And, you know, I heard one gentleman say one time that he's been looking for a perfect church and he can't find it. And we'd say, well, you know why? As soon as you went in there, it wasn't perfect. But if you're looking for perfection, there's only one God that we can look to who is perfect in every way. Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Jesus, the Son of God. He is perfect in every way. The Bible says he was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. Now, if Jesus was tempted in every way with sin, that means if he would have yielded to his flesh and let his flesh rule over him, let his soul man rule over him, he had just as much capacity to sin as anyone. But he made a choice because he recognized the call of God that was on his life. He recognized that God had called him, God had given him an assignment, God had given him a commission to empty himself of all that heaven had and come down to this earth as a man. And the Bible says Jesus was willing to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to come from heaven down to this earth to redeem a lost humanity that needed a redeemer, that needed a leader to show them how they could come into the presence of God, how they could live their life in a way that was pleasing to God, and how they could tap into the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and through salvation and be the people that they were called to be. So when we're born into this world, it's not by accident. You're not an accident. I'm not an accident. God had a plan for you and I being here on the planet. Amen? And you know, my dad had 9 kids. My dad was a lot older than my mom. And, you know, thank God mom was able to bear 9 children. But, you know, the last 3 children that she brought into the world, the doctor said with every one, Phil, you got to put a stop to this. This is going too far. This is pushing it too far. But how many of you know God has a plan? And you know, my mom was of the persuasion. You know, I find myself in a situation right now where I'm going to have a child. And she grabbed a hold of that, and she recognized that God had called her to mother a child and bring that child into the earth. And right from the time that she knew that she was going to have another child, she didn't know necessarily if she was going to have a son or a daughter. Thank God she had beautiful sons at the end. You know, three of us, three in a row, hallelujah, three strand cord. She would begin to pray right from that very time. God, I pray that you will cause this child to be healthy and well, and I pray that they will come when they will serve you all the days of their life. And so she recognized that she was called of God to intervene even for the unborn. You may have that call on your life today to pray and to intervene for the unborn. Maybe God is going to birth in you a desire to have a home where unwed mothers can come and they can give birth to their children and have their children have an opportunity to know God and serve God and love God and be all that they can be with his help and with his power and his ability. You know, God is calling his church to be a church that's very different than it was before. You know, I mentioned to you the other day about how I was impacted by hearing a testimony of a man who said this very thing, Norval Hayes. He said that the Lord spoke to him and said, Norval, no one's taking care of the orphans. At prayer, Pastor was mentioning the other night at prayer how in our area we have an epidemic of homeless children. You know, lots and lots and lots of kids, thousands of kids that don't have a place to live, that need parents to love them, need somebody to care about them enough to give them a home, give them a place to live their life in. Hallelujah. That's why we're here, folks. We're here to reach out and to touch people. And God said to Brother Hayes, he said, if you'll take care of the children, if you'll take care of the unwed mothers and give them a place to live, you'll never have any need that will not be supplied for you in your life. I'll make sure that you have enough finances to do it. I'll make sure that you're blessed in everything that you do. And I'll make sure that you have many opportunities to be a blessing for the kingdom of God. And so the call of God, when God calls you and me, when God speaks to us to say yes to him, and you know, I suppose if I give every one of you an opportunity to tell me your story of how you found the Lord Jesus, who spoke the word of God to you, and you responded to that, and you made a commitment to the Lord, and that began your journey of serving God and being the person that God wants you to be, we might all have a different story. But the truth of the matter is, thank God somebody was willing to share the gospel with us. There's a great man of the great father of the faith who made a statement, and he was a man who had a great heart for missions, and even that church still exists out in Toronto today. It's called the People's Church. Wonderful title, wonderful name, but most of their budget goes to missions. They've always done that. They've always been a church that believed in reaching out and touching lives. And he had a motto. He said, why should anybody hear about Jesus twice until everybody's heard about him once? And so he recognized people need to hear our story. They need to hear what Jesus means to us. Part of our call is to be witnesses unto him, to share the good news that we have found in our lives. What has Jesus done for you? How has Jesus changed you? What has Jesus done to bring that life into you that you never had before? You know, sometimes we forget what it was like. You know, especially me. I forget what it's like to be a sinner saved by grace. Because I was one of those kids that was raised in the church all the time. I have memories of being in the church that when I slept under the pew. I went to sleep when I got tired, and I woke up whenever the service started happening again. You know, when it started getting loud again. When people started getting excited about God again, I'd wake up again. We didn't have, you know, the nursery and the children's ministry and all that sort of stuff back in those days. Sometimes they didn't even have a room to change a diaper in. That's bad. That's bad. Do you know what? We survived. We lived to tell the story. Hallelujah. And we didn't do without. And so we thank God today that we have an opportunity like never before to minister to every age group of people. Hallelujah. And thank God this church has been doing that right from the very beginning of its existence here. We've been able to minister to every age group of people. You are called by God to have an impact on someone. Do you know what? You're impacting people that you don't even realize you're impacting. There's some people that are impacted by you that you're not even aware of, and maybe you won't even know about that impact until we go home to be with the Lord one day. And somebody's going to walk up to you and say, you may not remember me, but I'm the person that you helped back in this particular situation. I was thinking about Ireland the other day and thinking about our time over in Ireland and thinking about the things that we were able to enjoy over there. You know they got good cooks over there? Good chefs? When they put on a banquet, they put on a banquet. When they serve you a four-course meal, you get all four courses. You don't have to ask for number three and four. They make sure that you have it. When you have an opportunity to enjoy something there and to see the beauty and the splendor of it all, it's really awesome to behold and to know and to understand. And I remember this one occasion, we were over in Ireland, and really we were there to work for a particular group that was at that time helping people behind the Iron Curtain. And so Ireland was sort of like a place they would come from North America to Ireland, and they'd put teams together, and then they'd go from Ireland on in behind the Iron Curtain and go and help the members of the underground church. And so they would go and take Bibles, they would go and take other support to them as they could, and so on. And so we were called over to Ireland to help this organization raise up nationals, Irish people, to become a part of this. This is part of what we were called to do as we went over there as a group. And as we went over there, things didn't necessarily work out the way that they should. And so we ended up over there on our own. And the group that was supposed to look after us there, the people that were sort of running things there, they didn't really want anything to do with us. So we were there all on our own. We left Toronto International Airport with $20 in our pockets, each of us. $20 Canadian bill. I know it could buy more back in that time than it can buy now. But we didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot of money. And so we found ourselves in a situation where God began little by little by little to open doors, to bring people across our path, to help us in the middle of that situation. And we needed finances. Finances came. We needed contacts. Contacts came. We needed open doors, and open doors came for us to go and minister to people. And so we were able to help a lot of people. There was a Presbyterian minister over there who one day came knocking on our door at the place where we were staying, and he said, I heard that you young people are here from Canada. He says, is there anything you need? Well, we needed almost everything. You know, we didn't have proper bedding. We didn't have food. We didn't have money. We didn't have anything, transportation, nothing. And it wasn't too long until he came back and carloads of food and bedding and TV, black and white TV. I never thought I'd like to see a black and white TV so much, and watching rugby. That's really the Wayne. That is the pinnacle. Rugby, at least the ball is shaped the right way. The game is played nothing like our football is. But we were able to do that. And so he began to, this Presbyterian minister, began to give us an opportunity to go and to touch the young people in the area where we were. And he sort of made a little pact or an agreement with the young people. He said, I'll have a place for you to come and gather. And three nights in the month, I'm not going to preach at you. I'm not going to share the gospel with you necessarily, although he would. I'm not going to make it a church event. It's just going to be a time for you to come and have fun. But once a month, I want you to agree with me that once a month I have the right to preach. I have the right to do whatever I desire to do to share Christ with you. And so they made that agreement with him. And so we became that fourth time. And we were getting a little bit concerned because as we came to the meeting, you know, earlier in the afternoon, and we set up all our sound equipment and everything, he said, I don't know how they're going to take this. He said, I think we need to sort of make a protection barrier for you. And so they laid tables all across the front of the equipment and everything. So we did our concert from behind a barrier because he didn't know how they were going to react. He didn't know if they were going to throw stuff or what they were going to do. But they listened and they listened and they listened. And at the close of it, there was a few of the young people that had already asked Jesus into their heart. And so he sort of drew them up to the front where we were and began to draw out of them their testimony. And they began to talk about what Jesus meant to them. And there's others that were standing around, and he said, wouldn't you like to know about Jesus too? And I still think to that day, the call of God and the opportunity that we're given to simply share with other people what Jesus means to us. And so he said to me, he says, John, he says, why don't you take these young people and get in my car and drive to the other side of the parking lot there, because he wanted a quiet place for us to be. And we all went over there, and I shared my testimony with them, and every one of them said, yes, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. That is something pretty awesome. When you think God gives us the privilege to share him with other people, because he's too good to keep to ourselves. He's too wonderful to keep to ourselves. Every person needs to have an opportunity to accept the Lord and to receive the life that only Jesus can give and bring. And so as a Christian, we're called to be leaders. We're called to have impact in the lives of people. We're called to simply share what we know, what we have experienced, and simply share it in our own words. Just be real. You know, a lot of times people in the world, when they see us as Christians, they see us in the workplace, they see us in the, you know, in the superstore, or they see us in Walmart, or they see us somewhere in the city, and maybe they see us in other situations where we're facing problems and difficulties, and they see how we're able to receive help from God in dealing with those situations. And so when they find them in a troubled time or in a pressure cooker situation, they'll come to us and they'll ask of our faith. You know, the Bible says to be ready in season, to be willing to share with that person who asks you of the treasure that's in you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, you have been called by him to set the bar high and to not be ashamed of him. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In other words, nobody needs to be left out. Nobody needs to be without, but everybody can have equal access to God. Hallelujah. God's not willing that any should perish. He wants every person to come under the sound of the gospel. And the only way they're going to hear, the Bible says that how are people going to hear if somebody doesn't say something about God? So you can talk about God in your words. You can talk about God through your actions, through your deeds, the way that you deal with life, the way you deal with things. You know, I remember my dad talking one time about there was a particular individual in the town where we lived at that time, and the gentleman did not have a very good vocabulary, and it was mostly of the blue flavor all the time. You know, words that, you know, you wouldn't, as if you were a lady, you wouldn't want to be around there hearing them. And even if you're a man, you wouldn't want to be necessarily hearing the words he was saying. And he made the statement when he saw my dad come into the room. He says, "Oh, sorry, Reverend, I didn't realize you were here." And my dad simply said to him, "Sir, God was here all the time." See, it's not so much what people think about us. It's what do you think about God. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always available 24/7. He's attentive to our prayer. He's attentive to the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He's attentive to the needs that we have in our life. He doesn't want you to ever feel like you're bothering him when you call upon his name. Hallelujah. But every time you call upon his name, the Bible says he's more willing to give than we are to receive. I don't think any one of us have any problem receiving. It's easy to receive. You know, sometimes our pride maybe won't let us receive something that somebody wants to give to us. But it's not hard to receive a gift at Christmas. When I was growing up, the problem with me always was I always wanted what my brothers got instead of what I got. Why can't I get that red fire truck? Why can't I get this? Why couldn't I get that? You know? I think that's pretty normal. Maybe it's not, but it seemed normal to me. And so if God loves us all the same, and he's not holding anything back from us, and he's wanting to get his favor into our lives, we can do some things to allow him to do what he wants to do. We can help him by being open to receive what he has for us. Amen? And so many people are born into this world, and they have not had the right or privilege that we have to hear the gospel, to be part of a church like this. They have not had the opportunity to hear the truth of the Word of God expounded to them and preached to them. They've lived their life in a totally different culture. They've lived their life in a place where they've been separated from God, not aware of who God really is, not aware of what he really desires to do for them, not aware of the fact that he loves them enough to even care about them and help them in their situations to have the life that they need and to have the things that they need in their life. People in the world can feel confused, bewildered, and alienated. Jesus, when he looked at the people of his day, he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, our leaders often appear to be, you know, sometimes we can be blind leaders leading the blind. Sometimes if we don't know where we're going, how can you help somebody else go in the right direction? If you're not motivated as a Christian to serve God and to do the things that God would have you to do, you're not going to be a motivation to others. But there are some people that really have a call of God to really help to motivate other people in a positive way. And, you know, you don't have to come down on people and be, you know, be tough or be overbearing, but you can lead by example. You can lead by the words that you say. You can lead by the decisions that you make. You can lead by simply making that decision to follow God and to be the person that God would have you to be. So Jesus was constantly looking. When he was on this earth, he was constantly looking for opportunities to help people discover their call and fulfill their call. He was constantly looking for opportunities to help people get closer to God and see that they needed to step away from religion and step into the fullness of life that God wanted them to have. And so Jesus began to demonstrate in his own life, he demonstrated in the things that he did, he demonstrated in the things that he said, And he began to teach and train his disciples to be leaders. And he said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He said to his disciples, he said, do the things that I do. Say the things that I say. The things that you've seen me do, you do. And then he gave them a commission to go out and to prepare the way for him and go into some of the cities on beyond and start speaking with people. And if the people would receive them, they were to go into their house. They were to share the gospel with them. They were to pray over the needs that they may have. And if they needed healing, they were commissioned by Jesus to say the same words that he would say, and they would have the same results that Jesus had. And so what did they do? They went and they did that. They came back amazed and astounded that they were able to do miracles in the name of Jesus. People were touched, people were healed, lives were changed, lives were impacted because they dared to believe the word of God. And so every one of us are given every day opportunities to make wise decisions to be the people that God has called us to be. Hallelujah. Shakespeare made a statement one time. He said, do not be afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. To have greatness thrust upon you means that you're put into a place where you really don't have a choice. You're in a place, you're in a position where it's your role, it's your job to stand up and be the leader. Stand up and be counted. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't have time to prepare. But you know, one of the great things about being part of the family of God, this is really preparation time. This is really the place where we're able to get together and hear the truth of the Word of God and study the Word of God and grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom and become the people that God wants us to be. And this is the place where we can practice our faith and we can share our faith one with another. We can pray one for another. We can believe God with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when they have a need, we can stand with them in agreement. And when we ourselves are in a place where we need somebody to stand with us, our brothers and sisters can stand with us and be there for us. And so God wants us to come to that place of being the people where he's called us to be, standing in the truth of God's word, standing in the power of God, and being the people that God wants us to be. And so Christian leadership is a blending of natural and spiritual qualities, of natural talents and spiritual gifts. Nevertheless, God's gifts have to be cultivated and leadership potential has to be developed. What then marks the leadership in general and of Christian leadership in particular? How can we give up sitting around waiting for someone else to take the initiative and take the initiative ourselves? What is needed to blaze a trail that others will follow? See, most people are really looking for somebody that would be willing to demonstrate that they're going somewhere. You know, there was an ad on TV, and really it's just a frame and a picture, and you see this guy walking into the frame and walking out of it. And the caption is something about follow a person from this particular group because they know where they're going. And so the whole ad was saying, if you want to get somewhere, follow somebody that's going somewhere. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. But you know, the disciples had to decide to follow. They could have made the decision to say, no, I like my fishing business better. They could have said, I want to stay where I am right now. I don't want to follow this man. I don't even know who he is. But there was something compelling about Jesus, that all it took was just a few words. He just shared a few words with them. And they were willing to leave everything behind and follow him. Hallelujah. God is calling you and I to be the kind of people that are willing to follow him, willing to help other people go in the right way, helping other people to be all that God intends for them to be. So there's several different kinds of call. There's the universal call. Jesus lifted up, said that if I be lifted up in John chapter 3, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The gospel that is preached is one of people looking unto Jesus, people seeing Jesus for who he is. The gospel is not a gospel of condemnation. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came that the world through me might be saved. He came to be a redeemer. He came to be a restorer. He came to bring people back into a place of proper connection with God so that they could benefit from all that God had for them. There is a character call. To those who labor and are heavy laden, the Bible says, if we'll come unto Jesus, if we labor and are heavy laden, he will give us rest. And so Jesus wants us to come and be part of him. There's a ministry call. It's given by the Lord as he sends people out to go and share the gospel in his power and his authority. There's an effectual call. The Holy Spirit leads those who he calls. And this calling of which we read, whom he called, them he also justified. Romans 8:20. And so God is calling us to be men and women of faith. He's calling us to do what he would have us to do and to be in the place where he calls us to. And so we're going to talk just a little while tonight about a man who came into the presence of Jesus and Jesus really ministered unto him. In Matthew chapter 11, let's begin by reading Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. It says, then Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise and clever, and for revealing it to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father, and no one really knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give is light. So this scripture is talking, and it's sharing with us how we can go through sorrows, we can go through different things in life, we can go through problems and difficulties, but this remedy that these scriptures are talking about will always be effective. If we will learn the secret of coming to Jesus, coming to him, giving it to him, rolling that care, rolling that burden, rolling that concern over on him, rolling that situation and that need over on him. You know, it could be a financial need that you have. Rolling it over on him because he is promised that he will meet every need that you have according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you and I to do without or be without, but he wants you and I to experience his fullness of promise in our lives, praise the Lord. And so we need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have his way in our lives, and we need to allow him to share his love and his power and his ability with us so that we can be the people that he desires us to be. So we know that Jesus was one who was rejected. You know, he came unto his own people, and his own people didn't receive him. He came because he was called by God to come, and he knew that the Father had called him to come and share with the people of God, the people of Israel. He came and he shared the gospel, and there was a time where there was great success in his life and in his ministry. Thousands and thousands of people were affected. Thousands of people were ministered unto. People were healed and delivered and set free. But there came a time where people began to turn away from him. And the reason that they did it was because of the religious leaders of the day who could not accept the message that Jesus was sharing. They could not accept the fact that Jesus said he was the Messiah. They could not accept the fact that Jesus would say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They could not accept the fact that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. And because of that, they would not receive the words that Jesus said. They rejected him, and they began to turn the people against Jesus and against what he was saying. They tried to kill him several times. But the scripture says that several times, because it wasn't the time that Jesus knew was his time to lay down his life, the Bible says he would pass through the midst of the crowd. In other words, they could not take Jesus, they could not kill Jesus until Jesus was willing to lay down his life, until Jesus made the choice. He was in control. He was in charge. He knew what the call of God in his life was. He knew the timing of God. He knew the season of God. He knew that he still had time to share the gospel with people. And so he continued to share the truth over and over and over again. Wherever he found faith, he reached out and he touched people and he shared the gospel with them, giving them an opportunity to receive the life that he wanted them to have. And so God wants every one of us to come to that place in our life where we allow the Spirit of God and the power of God to be manifest in our lives so that we can experience the fullness that God wants us to have in our lives. Hallelujah. So I want to read from Luke chapter 19. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when he saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Now, it's interesting. Salvation can come to somebody's house in many different ways. You know, we're living in the day right now where salvation can come to people in so many different ways than it could have, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. You know, back in the days of the circuit riding preacher where they went from town to town on horseback, sharing the gospel with people, to today where they can fly in a private jet and share the gospel with people. We're living in pretty awesome days today. You know, you would think if it was, you know, with everything that's available today, how could there be people that still have not heard the gospel? You know, there are still people in Prince Albert tonight who haven't heard the gospel. And simply, they haven't heard the gospel because nobody has taken the time to share the gospel with them. Most people have some sort of a religious experience in their life. You know, they have some memory of something somewhere, but that's all it is. It's almost like it happened so long ago they can hardly even remember what it was or what it's like. Oftentimes, young couples, for example, that maybe were a part of a church, but they drift away and they're no longer a part of a church, and they start having children and they start thinking, you know what? My kids should be in church. Prime candidates for us to reach out to. You know some people like that? Reach out to them. Share God's love with them. There are a lot of people in the world that want to do what's right. They just want somebody to help them. They just want somebody to care for them. You know, as I was thinking about tonight, I was thinking about how God is calling us to be a group of people that others would want to be a part of. God wants our church to be a church where people want to be a part of our church. They're not trying to stay out, they're trying to get in. They're not trying to get away, they're trying to get to us. They can hardly wait for an opportunity to come to the house of God. Praise God. That's the way we should be. Amen? I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Most people are glad when the preacher says, that's it. Say, finally, he's done. Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus. You ever been to a parade? You wanted to see someone in that parade? I remember some friends talking about they were just happened to be over in England one time when there was going to be a special procession going by. And of course, if you want to be at the front of the line, you got to be there early. And so they were there early. They had their spot all picked out. And just before it was time to happen, people come and just sort of push straight in front of them and push them back. And there are always those people that are so tall, you know, or they put their little kid up on their shoulders. Zacchaeus seemed to have a bit of a problem with stature. So I would say because he was short and other people were long or tall, he had a difficulty, but he had a solution. I'm going to climb up in a sycamore tree. Do you know what that says to me? That says if you really want to see God, if you want to find God, if you want to get to know him, there's a way to do it. If you're willing to do something to seek him and find him, you will. It also says something also about Jesus. You know, we think about Jesus, you know, walking through the crowd. Hello, hello, hello. Nice to see you. High five, low five, whatever. You know, you can see Jesus in many different ways. But Jesus had an ability to see beyond the norm. He was looking for guys up in the tree. He was looking for desire. He was looking for a want to in people. He was looking for a hungering and a thirsting. And he just happened to look up in the very sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was. You see Zacchaeus up there? Hi, it's me. I'm Zacchaeus. I'm the tax collector. Everybody hates me. Hi, Jesus. You think Jesus was surprised he was a tax collector? You think Jesus was surprised that the people hated those guys? People today still hate tax collectors. They hate the government. They hate those people that take their check before they get it. You know, we all deal with the same battle, don't we? You look at your pay stub, starts there. This is taken off. That's taken off. That's taken off. Started a nice big number, ends up quite a bit smaller. That can damage your faith if you let it. But I like what one man said. He said, you know what? I don't mind paying my taxes. I can remember when I didn't have to. Still better. It's like the little orangutan sitting on a curb. 1 foot up, 1 foot down. I've been rich, I've been poor. Rich is better. If you'll think of something good, there's always something good to think about. And what did Paul say? He said, think on the good things. Zacchaeus was thinking on, he wasn't thinking about all the people that hated him. He was thinking, what can I do to get to Jesus? What can I do to have a change in my life? What can I do to really live life the way that God wants me to live it? And he said, you know what? If I've robbed anybody, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've robbed anybody, I'm going to give it back. That was pretty generous of him. Right? That says that he had an experience with Jesus that changed him, an about-face experience. Are we called by God to simply just do nothing? Are we called by God to just be happy with the way things are? Are we called by God to look at tomorrow like we looked at today? I think that we should be like Jesus. He had a forward focus. He had an ability to look beyond the present to the future. And he was willing to pay the price because he saw the end result. When God looks at you and me, he doesn't look at our past. He has a great ability to see our future. He doesn't see our failures. He has a great ability to see the potential that he's put in there. And he sees if we will dare to believe, if we'll dare to have faith, if we'll dare to take him at his word, if we'll dare to trust him, if we'll dare to share the treasure that's on the inside of us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll reach out and he'll touch people. He'll change people. And you know what? When that is all going on, you and I are going to be changed as well. Hallelujah. I can remember when I was growing up as a little boy, they used to make a statement that if you want somebody to have a heart for missions, take them to the mission field. Nothing like it. If you want to have a heart for winning souls, hang around somebody that does it. It'll get all over you too. Hallelujah. The joy, the happiness, the joy of knowing that you've helped somebody find new life in God. Hallelujah. Don't ever forget what it was like when you said yes to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when you get older and you start looking back in your life and you think about some of those times that you were able to experience in your life and God helps you to remember some of those fun times, those fun experiences that you had with him, times when he touched you and times when he encouraged you and when he challenged you and when you'd come from a gathering of Christians back to your local church feeling like, I can take this town. I can take this town for God. Hallelujah. You know what? God's up in heaven is saying, yes, yes. He's up in the sycamore tree saying, go get him, go get him. Amen. God's always going to applaud you. God's always going to cheer you on. He's always going to help you to do what he calls you to do. Hallelujah. I think that we're living in a great time as a church where we're going to start seeing some incredible things happen. We're going to see some wonderful things happen. For the glory of God. Amen. God wants us to be a group of people that will dare to believe. Get out of our boats. Walk on the water. Do what he says do. Do what he asks you to do. Hallelujah. I want to be that kind of a person, and I know you do too. You want God to have his way in your life. And so the future looks great for us. Hallelujah. And we just need to recognize that as we step out in faith, God will be there to honor his word. God will be there to help us. God will be there to give us everything that we need to get the job done. Hallelujah. So Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have as men and women of God to heed the call, to listen to the call, and to make a decision and make a determination to do what we can do to help others find you, to share the gospel with people, to share the good news with people. And Lord, as we've read tonight from your word and as we have considered how every one of us have been called by you to do something powerful for the kingdom of God, I thank you, Lord, that you will help us to continually have that desire burning on the inside of us to say yes to you. And when we have an opportunity to serve, we have an opportunity to reach out and share good news with people. We have an opportunity, Lord, to go to another country to be a witness unto you and to see good things happen. I thank you, Lord, that you open doors in front of every one of us. And when you call us to do something, Lord, I thank you that you make the way possible for us to go and do everything that you've called us to do. So, Father, we honor you and we give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church. And we thank you, Lord God, that good things are ahead in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for every person in this room. I thank you for every family. I thank you, Lord, for every individual person as well. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Your hand is on us and that you supply and you meet every need that we have in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you honor and praise and thanksgiving for it in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.